Movies and Booze. I'm Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
On News Talk.
It's Friday. That means Movies and Booze. It's Stephanie Preisner in for Sean. Just because he's not here doesn't mean that we can't have the fun of Movies and Booze without him. My panel for today, Deirdre Malumbi, is going to be talking to us about all things film. Mick O'Connell is going to be talking to us about all things booze. And Serena Bellissimo is going to be talking about all things gossipy entertainment. Am I right? Hello to you all.
Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Oh, look at the chorus of welcome I just got. Talk to me, Mick, first of all, about the two wines we're going to be talking about today.
We're in that kind of barbecue phase. There's a little bit of sunshine. So we're doing a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc by a producer called Babich. That's the one we have in our glass at the moment. And then we are going to do a Côte du Rhône Village. So that's from a producer who usually makes Châteauneuf-du-Pape in the Southern Rhône. And this is like their small wine, their bargain wine.
Oh, nice. Because Châteauneuf-du-Pape gives me... It's giving like posh vibes.
Ideas of pure notions.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Absolute notions. Okay, Deirdre, what are we going to be talking about film-wise?
There is a new Alien movie out, if you can believe it. Serena's already rolling.
Add that to the list of unnecessary things in the world.
And also, I know you're not the biggest horror fan, so I've got
no,
a feeling.
No, I love
this
horror.
Okay, well, yes. You're a good horror fan. Okay, so we've got one horror fan. Mick, are you a horror fan?
No.
Okay, so we've got half... Well, I'm kind of a horror fan and half non-horror fans. But anyway, we'll get a good discussion going on this. This is the seventh installment in the Alien franchise, if you can believe it.
Oh, although, sorry, hang on. Do you count Alien as a horror genre?
I count it. But is it not horror?
Well, horror is like things that you're actually scared of. Like there are no such, I would say, science fiction, no?
I suppose, yeah, it's debatable. Serena's just laughing in the corner of like, it's horror. It's too scary
genre?
For me.
What is Alien?
Anything that freaks me out. Alien freaks me out, so I consider that a genre as well. But I get it. Why don't we call it a sci-fi horror?
Well, yeah, like...
That seems a fair compromise.
An extraterrestrial crawling out of the stomach of Sigourney Weaver is horrifying, but it's not something I'm going to be like, oh, I hope that doesn't happen to me.
I do. I freak out seeing that stuff.
Yeah, but it's okay, though. It's not going to happen.
Is that what gets you through these scary movies?
Yeah, I always think like if something could actually happen, then that's really scary. You know?
Yeah, no, D?
I do tend to handle like the horrors, like the kind of vampire, those sort of movies, like easier than kind of the serial killer or anything involving scary children, because children are frightening as it is. So I don't like those kind of horrors.
Really, yeah. Really scary. I stayed in a hotel, aside the point, I stayed in a hotel this week that had a staircase in the room down to a bathroom. And I was like, oh my God, there's definitely a dead Victorian child in this room. I am definitely going to be haunted.
I would have asked for a room change.
Yeah, I just didn't want to engage with the reception about it. Anyway, because I thought that I would anger the ghosts. What's the second movie, Dee?
We are looking at Only the River Flows, which is a movie that competed at the Cannes Film Festival. So as you can imagine from that kind of vibe, it is slightly like art house. It's a Chinese language film, kind of a detective mystery thriller sort of film. So I suppose it's one of these like counter programming examples where you have two movies that are the complete opposite of each other out the same week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like the sound of it. Serena, what's new in gossip?
OK, well, this isn't gossip. This is, well, I suppose this is information about Katy Perry.
Matthew Perry. No,
sorry.
Relation.
Yes. Matthew Perry's death. We all know he died. Earlier on, actually, it wasn't early, I was going to say earlier on this year. It was October of last year.
Oh, wow.
He passed away.
Nearly a year ago.
Yeah, wow. That's how quick this year has gone. And at the time, it was ruled an accidental death. But like deaths in these circumstances, you know, like we had Michael Jackson's death as well, after the fact, they're still investigating. And they went back and investigated, and five people have been charged with his death. Contributing to his death.
Who were the five people and what happened?
Two were doctors.
His doctors?
One was a doctor he was working with. One is his personal assistant. Apparently, and I'm going to say allegedly, even though he has pleaded guilty, he used to inject Matthew with ketamine that he was using apparently they have found this could help with depression if used with your doctor.
Yeah, like microdosing it as well.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And apparently that's what he was doing, but no, he was injecting more. There's also a couple of doctors, one who supplied the syringe, another two that were getting it for him, and the drug dealer who is known as the Ketamine Queen has also been arrested. So
I have so many thoughts about this. Like, fair enough, the Ketamine Queen.
Yeah.
If you are supplying people with ketamine, that is
mm-hmm.
illegal. But if you're someone's personal assistant and they tell you to do something,
it's a real,
like, it's going. You know, it is. It's, is it?
That's definitely not their fault.
Well,
doctor's prescription.
Yeah, do you know what it is? I think it's really hard when you make, and not just Matthew Perry, just in general, when you surround yourself with yes people, I think it's dangerous for everyone involved, including the yes people, because as you said, if that person had said no, I'm not taking a side on this either way, but if that person had said no, that was their livelihood robbed. But it is illegal to be doing stuff like this, to be injecting him with a high dosage of ketamine. So, look, it's a really sad story for everybody
involved. Was there something that I saw as well about text messages? I saw something on the news about text messages between the two doctors saying, like, how much is this moron going to pay us or something like this. That
now, I saw that as well. I can't go into it because I only read the headline there. But, yeah, the fact that the doctors were talking about, you know, exploiting Matthew Perry in this way. His family have come out. So his stepdad's family have come out and said, we're really happy that the investigation has been reopened and we feel like justice can be served. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's a
very sad
that's happening at the moment in LA.
And I'm a big fan of rewatching Friends over and over again. And now it just kind of hits a bit different, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just amazed that someone is called Ketamine Queen.
I know.
I mean, is that on their passport or like?
No, I think it might be a nickname.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you knew that. I don't pick up on tone. Anyway, let's move on and talk about wine.
So we have a delicious New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc in the glass at the moment. It's by a producer called Babich, and it is their black label Sauvignon Blanc. So as with all things black label, it's like the posh one. So they also have a white label, which is the thrifty one, but this is the posh one. So these guys are like kind of pioneers in terms of they're one of the first people to plant in New Zealand. So we're talking 200 years ago. This is Marlborough, so it's the north part of the South Island. And like if you look at New Zealand on the map, really next stop down is the South Pole. It's bananas that they can make wine at all. I never like to get too nerdy. But the reason that this wine is pretty good is quite a nerdy one. So it's one of those, I'm gonna do it anyway. It uses 20% of a thing called malolactic fermentation. We don't need to go into it.
We do. We definitely need to go into it. Yeah, we definitely do.
I've talked about malolactic fermentation in shops before and had customers back away slowly like this.
Yeah, because they're coming
insane.
To a shop to buy something, whereas we're listening to the radio to learn about this.
Okay, cool. I thought Fridays were all about fun. I'm not sure malolactic fermentation. Okay, anyway, malolactic fermentation is changing malic acid in a wine. And malic acid, you think Granny Smith. So like bite into it and you're...
Bitter?
Yeah, like really bitter. Your jaw goes wild kind of trying to keep up. It's changing Granny Smith acid to lactic acid, which is milk acid. Okay?
So sweet.
Soft, creamier. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that they do here is they do 20% of wild fermentation. What that just does is add a layer of complexity into the 20% of the wine. So 20% malolactic fermentation, 20% of this wild ferment. So you get this complexity plus this kind of creamy element to the wine.
And sorry if I'm being very pedestrian here, but your common or garden white wine that you don't know anything about, like just a white wine, are they also doing malolactic fermentation, but to a different percentage? Or is this a fermentation process that only happens in this wine?
So the reason it's unique in this style is basically New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is made to a recipe. And the recipe doesn't involve malolactic fermentation. And it pretty much always doesn't involve wild fermentation.
Okay.
So it's a...
But it happens in other wines in other countries.
White Burgundy, for example, you'd have quite often malolactic fermentation. Anytime you hear of the words, oh, that's a buttery... X. Usually it's a buttery Chardonnay. Buttery is from the malolactic fermentation.
Okay.
But it like trends come and go in wine, like in all things. And really the fashion in the world at the moment of wine is definitely blocked malolactic fermentation. Refreshing is the kind of tone of the day.
So people don't like it?
Some people do.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Okay.
But definitely if you're thinking Albarino, Sauvignon Blanc in general, all of this stuff is blocked. So all of the trendy grapes, Grüner Veltliner.
So if you're like, I'm a Sauv Blanc person, I love that flavour, then this probably isn't going to be one that you love.
You still get all the flavours here, but you get the richness kind of turned up to 11, you get the complexity turned up to 12 or 13 or maybe even 14 or 15.
Okay, shall we all have a little sippity-doo-dah and see what we think?
I already have.
Okay, Serena. Fine. Solo run, Serena Bellissimo.
I love it. It actually reminds me of sitting in Australia, Christmas Day, sun out, backyard, by the pool, having a drink.
Weirdos, weirdos. Sitting in, roast turkey, woolies on, fleecy socks, having a mulled wine.
That's port.
But it's really good. On the Aussie thing, Margaret River does... Sauvignon Blanc blended with Semillon. Okay, that tends to be the most important historically Sauvignon Blanc made in Oz. And the Semillon piece really adds that richness, that texture. They're kind of doing that with winemaking stuff as opposed to with Semillon, if you see what I mean. So you just get this additional richness and you still get all the Sauvignon Blanc character. People who love New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc are going to love this, but it just feels like several steps up from the norm.
Okay, well, I don't drink, so I don't know. But when I smell it, it smells like, I mean, I'm not Sean Moncrief. It smells like wine. It smells like white wine.
It is
a little bit bitter, maybe, in my nose.
Like you get gooseberries, nettles, all of this kind of green stuff. That is the Sauvignon Blanc vibe. Give it another go.
Oh, we have a text here. Well, I can keep sniffing, but the text here says, Mick, I threw a fancy dinner party recently and one of the guests brought a flat plastic bottle of Aussie Shiraz that they got in one of those cheap supermarkets. I haven't opened it yet. Will it be okay or will it taste like chewing a biro cap?
God, that's a great question. First of all, I think it's cool that they have new packaging coming on stream.
Can you describe, so he has described it as a flat plastic bottle.
So this was in play before COVID, but everybody at home, people doing more stuff online, people were designing flat bottles to go through letterboxes. Okay, so okay. You could deliver a bottle at a time type thing. And that has been happening for quite a while. There's one company that's doing that in a kind of cardboard bottle. I know that sounds daft, but it...
Like a Tetra Pak, like milk carton?
Yeah, but even more recycled looking.
Okay, yeah, you know? Worthy.
Yeah. And the issue with all these different formats is shelf life.
Okay.
Glass has thousands of years of history. No, does glass, actually, I say that. Centuries of history. And... because of that, we know it's a good format for wine.
Okay.
The stuff like this, my feeling is that as a starting point, people are probably using average to good wine to test out the formats.
Okay.
Whereas maybe they should go jump right in, use really good wine as a starting point, and then everybody would turn over to the alternative better for the environment format.
I don't understand why it's better for the environment. Like glass is recyclable, no?
It is recyclable, but it's really heavy. So taking that Babbage as an example, I should say, caveat this with, New Zealand are fantastic on sustainability.
Yeah.
The reason that they are is they have to ship glass all around the world and they're in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So
it's a capitalist thing. I have another text here. Hi, I've had Babbage Sauvignon in Shanahan's restaurant recently and it's lovely. Where can I buy it? In Dublin. Thanks, Michelle.
Where could you buy it? That's a very, very good question. You'll get this in Devaney's. You'll get it in Sweeney's D3. I mean, it's pretty, in like good independent shops, it's pretty widely available.
What about Jus de Vin in Portmarnock?
They
I've never been in there, but I always go past it.
They very well might. They're a great wine shop. And I like to say it with my like Northside Dublin accent. I just drove past it earlier, like just divine.
Just divine. Yeah, that's why it works.
Just
divine. So well.
Just divine.
Okay, great. So but do you think this person will be okay with the biro cap bottle?
I think they will survive.
Yeah.
I think they could serve it to their guests in like a carafe. You know, those fancy...
like a swan.
Exactly, yeah. So it looks nicer, but I don't know if that's going to make the taste any better, but it'll look better and you might feel better having it.
To be honest, I think most of experiencing wine is how it looks. I think people buy what you're selling. If you say this is really expensive, people will buy it. Anyway, I need the name and price of that first wine.
So it is Babbage Black Label Sauvignon Blanc from Marlborough in New Zealand. And that's about 25 quid.
Whew. Okay, we're going to come back after this. And Dee, what movie are we going to talk about first?
We'll start with Alien Romulus.
There.
Something's hunting us.
Right.
new plan. Can you manage yourself with the gun?
Yes, I can. Right, this is an F-44A pulse rifle. It's a rotating breech electronic pulse action. It's what the Colonial Marines used. AA stands for aiming assist. So, right, you put that under your arm. That's it. Right, this hand here.
Aim it towards Andy. Pull the trigger halfway. Don't worry, the safety's on. See? Aiming assistance. If that thing comes towards you, you point it in this general direction, you'll never miss.
Where'd you learn all this?
Games and magazines.
I mean, it's radio, so we can't see picture. Not the most exciting clip in the world, but it is from Alien, which might be a horror or might be sci-fi. So talk to us about this movie.
It's a bit of both. I will say on the argument for it being a horror side, it is directed by Fede Alvarez, hopefully I've pronounced it right, who'd be best known for the 2016 horror film Don't Breathe. People might remember that film with Stephen Lang, and also 2013's Evil Dead. So he does have a horror background.
Yeah, but should they change genre all the time? The directors, they'll just go where the money is.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, like, what is, I bet they can't guess either, what is Alien about? Like,
would people really be listening to this and not knowing? Well, maybe, I suppose. Who knows?
I don't really remember what Alien is about. Is it people have gone to space or aliens have come to Earth?
So the whole idea of the Alien franchise, I suppose, is it's set in the future where Earth has kind of gone to, you know, it's terrible anyway to live here. And now they're exploring space, setting up all these colonies on like distant planets. And actually, this particular film, it's set between Alien and Aliens. And what we do is we actually follow a group of youngsters who are living on one of these colonies. You know, their parents lived and worked in the mines there. They ended up dying. And now they're kind of eager to escape this space colony that they live in because they know that this life is just destitute and, you know, just going towards tragedy. So what they do is they find this abandoned space station. So they fly up to it. Their idea is to kind of sneak onto it and travel off to this other colony, which is supposedly like this kind of idealistic life, you know, very like, you know, Mad Max when they're trying to get to the promised land, all of this stuff. But once they're on the space station, they realize that what's inside is not what they quite expect.
What a premise. How did you find it?
I liked it. Yeah. I quite like the Alien franchise generally, to be honest with you. Like, obviously, I'm the biggest fan of like the first Alien and Aliens, which are from 1979 and 1986, respectively. Sigourney Weaver is just absolutely phenomenal in these films. And I even, to be honest,
is she in this one?
Well, she's, I don't want to spoil anything. I can say this. I can say a familiar face from those movies is back, but I won't. I don't want to give away.
Oh my God, just tell us. My producer is telling me you can't.
I have given away spoilers on the radio and I've gotten some angry texts in, so I'm not going to do that again. But yeah, I even have like a soft spot for like Alien 3 and Prometheus and Alien Covenant. Like, I quite like the franchise generally. This installment, I would say, is probably in like the upper middle in terms of my own personal ranking. I think that like the Alien versus Predator movies are probably the ones that people would consider like kind of the bottom in terms of ranking. But I quite enjoyed this one. I thought the CGI and SFX look absolutely spectacular. Like, space just looks amazing. So this film really is kind of made for the big screen, I would say. It does deliver on the ambience. I know that clip wasn't the best example, but it is good. It is quite intense. What I really like about it as well is that, particularly if you're a fan of those first two Alien installments, is that there are a lot of callbacks to those films by way of the sets, the props, because this movie is obviously set in that same kind of era. It also looks at kind of questions of morality surrounding AI, which is something those kind of initial Alien movies touched on as well. It does feel initially, I suppose, like you're going a bit through the motions of an Alien movie, like nobody knows what's going on. All of a sudden these xenomorphs appear. Aliens may burst from chest cavities at some point or another. Who knows? I'm sure that's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer, guys. But there are a number of twists and turns that kind of keep it exciting. And the final act goes really trippy with the direction that they decide to take this franchise in. It just goes kind of bonkers. But I could appreciate that at the same time. The only kind of big criticism I could think of this film as I was watching it, and maybe it's just because I've been like having watched these movies over the years, I think that they do benefit from being like a little more kind of gritty and bloody and violent. Like the first Alien movie had something like an X rating, which would be the equivalent of like 18s today. So that is like quite, you know, excessively graphic, violent and graphic and stuff. This film is rated 15s. So I found that like a lot of the violence in it was implied, but there were certain moments where it cut and I thought it would have been a bit more impactful if I'd actually seen this carried through, if you know what I mean. I know that that's a kind of weird complaint to have. Like, I wish there'd been more violence in this movie. But you know when you're watching like 15s, like say action movies, and you're like, I wish that it would just go kind of full throttle here, you know? So that was just my only complaint about it, I'd say.
So you like more blood, more gore.
Yeah. More aliens doing their alien thing.
Okay. And so where can people see it? Is it out in movies, in cinemas now?
Yeah, so it's out from today, and it's a big release, so I'd imagine it'll be showing in most cinemas.
Yeah. Probably in the main screen. Serena, we're going to come to you and you're going to give us the next story.
Can we talk about Janet Jackson for a sec?
Janet Jackson of Michael Jackson fame.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we know that she comes from a very famous family.
The Jacksons,
and she has her own career, but she was on BBC Sounds with Scott Mills in the UK, and they were talking about her family, and she was like, yes, Stevie Wonder is my cousin. So her family gets
kept
more
that
and
quiet.
More. I know. Like, how does she? She's 58 now. Michael Jackson would have been in like his 60s. How did we not know that Stevie Wonder is their
Stevie
cousin?
Wonder is like, I don't want to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's those weird cousins that you have. Like, oh God, I'm not related to them.
So apparently they're related on their mum's side. Now, I always assumed that Samuel L. Jackson was a cousin, but Samuel L. Jackson came out in 2017 in an interview and said, no, we're not related. But Janet said, yes, of course we're related to Samuel. So apparently Samuel is a cousin as well.
Hang on. Now she's just become the most unreliable narrator. Like, who are we believing? I believe Samuel.
No, based on what you said about Stevie, I believe Janet.
Okay, but like, did he say that he wasn't after all the creepiness or before?
Probably after 2017.
Okay, yeah.
I need a family tree drawn up here. I'm not buying this. Well, no, so I gotta be honest.
There's some Greek mythology stuff going on here.
There's one more in there as well, Dee.
Who?
Tracy Chapman.
What? Fast car.
Yes. Is their cousin as well. So there you go. The Jacksons are the family that just keep on giving.
Are they though? I don't know. I feel like we are verging here on some really problematic stereotyping of like,
where in Ireland are they related?
We're in Ireland.
Yeah, we're in Ireland. Oh. They found, like, the cousin.
Moneygall.
You know? But do you know what? If Janet's saying it, I believe Janet. She said to Scott Mills that Stevie, Tracy and Samuel are her cousins. That'd be a great family gathering.
They're my cousins. I don't know. It just feels very... I'm going to need a statement.
Like from the woman herself?
No, from Tracy and from all of them.
But why would she lie about that?
Because she's a Jackson. They lie about all sorts.
Well, look, she is about to go on tour. I'm raging. I don't think she's coming here. She's doing London. She's doing Paris. She's doing Europe as well.
Does she have a new album or like the past hits?
She hasn't had an album in 9 years. I can't believe that.
Isn't she one of the best-selling artists of all time?
And she is a great singer. Really? Like, she puts
on... And we have this thing of it. Janet Jackson of Michael Jackson fame?
Exactly.
No, of Stevie Wonder fame, actually.
I can't name a single song. Janet really? Jackson.
It's All For You. Yeah. I remember bopping along to that in my
I do
years.
Know that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rhythm Nation.
No.
Oh, she has some, if you don't know Janet Jackson, go and give her a listen. She's got some great music.
I know.
She puts on a great concert as well. I'm jealous of anyone who's going.
I have a question about the Jackson Five. Is she one of the five or are they just the boys?
It was the brothers. It was
so
the brothers.
Five plus Janet.
Well, Janet got her start. So the boys were grown up and she's the youngest of the family. So she got her start when they'd appear on talk shows. She'd appear on that. And then she went and did acting. She was in, I can't remember the name of the show. There was a sitcom she did. Then she did Different Strokes. She appeared on a whole heap of other shows as well. She's fabulous.
Okay, we love you, Janet. I'm not sure that I believe you, but Serena does, and I need some proof. Next story, Serena.
Oh, let's talk Ray Gun.
Yes. Some shame for your national country.
There really is. And look, I really feel for her. If you don't know who Ray Gunn is, her name is Rachel Gunn. Ray Gunn is her B-girl name. She was competing in the breakdancing. Breakdancing was the first time it actually appeared at the Olympics in Paris. And a lot of people are saying the reason why it's not coming back is because of Ray Gunn.
Sorry, it's not coming back.
No, it was put
in. It was stupidly put in anyway. It's not a sport.
Well, but
dancing is not a sport.
Have you seen how much sweat they work up?
Yeah, but I'm not. I work up sweat doing loads of things that aren't sport.
But the same could be said about gymnastics. They do some of the same moves and stuff that the gymnasts do. So what's the difference between gymnastics and breakdancing? I'm just being the.
Anyway, go on.
The ancient Greeks did breakdancing and not gymnastics. That's the difference.
Oh, is that? There you go. There you go. But so anyway, she came out. She wasn't great. She got 0 points. But the backlash, I do feel sorry for her because she's put out a statement. She hasn't said anything since. And then on yesterday, she came out and put out a statement on her Instagram, piece to camera, saying, look, this has been really hard on me because there's been allegations that the reason why she got through, because she was terrible. As an Aussie, you have to admit, she was terrible.
Also something about the break dancing. You know, when people break dance, there's this sort of like bravado, like they come out and they're like pulling the shoulders of their jumper up and pointing at their crest. There's something about the bravado and arrogance of break dancing. That just did not sit with the routine that she did.
No, so she did all of that, but then she did the jumping kangaroo, she did the sprinkler, she did this move where it's almost like, you know, you're touching your toes. And I don't know, I wish I was an entrepreneur because in the States they're already selling back screen windscreen wipers of her doing the touch the toe movement. But look, she has been upset. There's been allegations saying, you know, her husband, she only got in there because of her husband. He's on the committee. She said that's not true. She wants her family to be left alone. Her family should not be be contacted. It's got nothing to do with her family. She's like, leave us all alone. I will talk to you. I'm going on an extended trip that was planned anyway. I'm going around Europe. I will talk to you when I get back to Australia. But I just think I get what she's saying. She should not be bullied. But at the same time, criticism is not the same as bullying. So saying that her routine was what the is not bullying. Mm-hmm. It was an embarrassment. And I'm really upset. Yeah, I'm an Australian, so I'm a bit biased, but I'm really upset because we've got such great break dancers in Australia and other people missed it. I don't understand. I'm not upset with her, actually. I'm upset with the Olympic Committee. Mm-hmm. I'm upset with our Prime Minister who came out and said, oh, she was giving it a good old go. That's not what the Olympics are all about.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like Eric the Eel. Does anyone remember Eric the Eel, the guy who couldn't swim?
Yes.
That was so cute. That was years ago now. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about criticism versus bullying when it comes to people doing public things?
It's a tough one because I think that nowadays it so quickly becomes bullying once it gets online and once it becomes very kind of vitriolic. And I agree that when the families are targeted, it's just not right, you know, especially kids. It's just, yeah, that's wrong.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about a red wine. Tell us a little bit about it before we go. Whet our appetites.
It's a Côte du Rhône Village, so Southern Rhône. Spicy little number.
Let's talk about our spicy little wine.
Yeah, this is lovely. I have to say, I really love this wine. So it's a Côte du Rhône Village Reserve from a producer called Famille Lanson. So
what does reserve mean when it's written on a bottle?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, God.
There are specific regions in the world where reserve or specifically reserva means something. So it means something in Rioja, means something in a lot of Italy. So there's a slight rule change and usually it just means that they're aged longer. So they're held back a little bit longer.
So they are therefore better tasting, more robust and more expensive?
Yes, apart from the better bit, usually just different, if you know what I mean. So it's like...
But more expensive.
More expensive. 100% more expensive because a lot of the cost of a wine is how long they're not selling it to you, if you get what
Yes,
you.
Okay.
So it's like how long the winery is keeping it in the winery, the longer, the more expensive. But like, just to put in perspective, there's a big but very good benchmark Rioja producer called Marques de Riscal. And they'll have like 6 million bottles of wine aging at any point in their cellar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's a lot of money if they just cashed it in, if you see what I mean.
But the longer they leave it, the more...
The longer they leave it, the...
Like an investment.
Exactly. Different kind of levels it hits. And it could be Gran Reserva, Reserva, Crianza. But in this, a family like this, who are making wine since the 15th century, what reserve means, it literally just means... The reserve, as in what they've kept back a little bit longer.
Right, I got you.
For someone who walks into a supermarket or a wine shop on the way home this evening and they see the word reserve, the likelihood is that it means nothing.
Okay, so tell us about this one.
So this is from the Southern Rhone. It's mainly Grenache. We're definitely not going down the nerdy route that we did with the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, French.
Yeah.
But the fun route is this was featured in Panic Room. Jodie Foster. Not like featured, but just a little product placement. This is how us wine geeks get our trills, you know?
Would they have paid for that?
I doubt it highly. Like these are a well-established wine brand, but to be honest, nobody really makes money from wine unless you're selling like gazillions of bottles of stuff. And these guys are not doing that.
Okay.
They would just be a well-respected producer. So their most famous wine is Chateauneuf du Pape. So Chateauneuf du Pape is named after where Apope lived for about 15 minutes back in the 14th century. Mm-hmm. And the wine was the local wine. And therefore, probably why we have the Notions idea in Ireland. It's like, it was linked to a Pope.
Must be amazing. Holy
wine. Fantastic. But this particular one it's a smaller wine. So what that means is it's not specifically from the area of Chateauneuf du Pape. So Chateauneuf du Pape is a little village with a church and a little castle ruin and about 20 wine shops all selling the same stuff and maps and t-shirts, obviously. But everywhere else around it, they don't have the same fame, but they do pretty much have a lot of the same qualities in the grapes that they produce.
And is it the grape and where it's from, or the process by which the wine is made that makes the flavour?
All of the above. And I would say that the grape and where it's from probably accounts for a lot of it in a fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
But a bad winemaker can mess up really good grapes, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's like chefs who are like, oh, these are organic ingredients. And I'm like, dude, like a bolognese is a bolognese is a bolognese. I don't care where your tomatoes are from, you know?
It's one of those with the wine production stuff that a lot of winemakers touch the wine too much. They want to do extra manipulations. And if the wine is good, if the grapes are good to start with, the likelihood is if you're kind of standoffish with it, you'll make pretty good wine.
Such a male way of approaching something. Just ignore it. It'll be fine. Let's give it a taste-a-roo and see.
It's funny because I look at it like the other way around. The male way is like, I need to dominate this wine by touching it all the time and putting oak on it and making it bigger.
Fair.
And actually, that's, I would say, in winemaking, really not a good thing.
But look, whatever that says about me and my men, it says. I can smell, I mean, I'm not going to play this game. Serena, what do you think of the wine?
I think it's really nice.
That's not helpful to the listener. Give us more. Say more.
I wouldn't eat chocolate with it. I'd actually have it with my dinner. And usually most red wines, I'd have chocolate with it. So this one.
It's not so sweet or it's not so full or it's not so rich. Why?
Because
it's a spicy little number.
It's a spicy little number. There we go. It's actually really not. Yeah, I don't. Usually with my red wine, I need to have something sweet with it. And this, I don't. I think I could just enjoy this. Again, I'd be in Australia, Christmas Day, hanging out with the mates and snacking while enjoying that wine.
It's just bananas how your experience of Christmas is different. Anyway, we're going to move on to you. Give us the name of that wine and where we can find it.
So it's Famille Lanson. It's Côte d'Aronne Village. And the particular one is La Solitude. And we can find it in Devonies and Dundrum, Drink Store and Stony Batter, Redmond's Ranelagh, The Wine Pair Dublin 8, Lots & Co. It's about £25.
£25. What I like to do, and maybe it's oversimplifying your job. If you like this wine, you might like this wine. Can you do that for this?
If you love Chateauneuf du Pape but you can't afford it, 100% buy this wine. But as Serena said, if you like that kind of Aussie style, because this is Grenache and Syrah, then this is very much in your ballpark
wheelhouse. Great. Okay.
Next story, Serena.
Okay, let's talk about Katy Perry. She's had a big week. She released her single Lifetimes last week. She released the album, the video for it. More about that in a sec. But this week, we've also found out that she is going to receive the 2024 VMA Video Vanguard Award for Music Video Excellence. So basically, she's been in the... I wish you could see Stephanie's face. She has been in the music industry for 16 years now. And look, Katy Perry doesn't do things by halves, right? So when she releases her videos, they are all over, like, over the top, big. You had California Girls, you had I Kissed a Girl, Dark Horse, Teenage Dream, Fireworks. So she's going to be recognised for all of that stuff. She is going to perform. So that was great news. And then this week she also released her video for Lifetimes. Now, she did that in Ibiza, and I can't say, can you say the Balearic Islands?
Balearic.
Yeah, those islands, right? Those. Say it again.
I say Balearic, but my producer has said Balearic.
Balearic.
Balearic, okay.
Balearic is what our, well, Mallow geography teacher called us. Anyway, go on.
So the...
Balearic Islands. Balearic.
Department of Agriculture, Fishery and Natural Environment have said that her and her production company can be in a lot of trouble for filming where they filmed.
No.
So they didn't have permission.
Well, that's all it was. I was like, oh my gosh, what have they done? How have they ruined the environment? Like, that's what you'd think. And then they go, I would only be like a slap on the hand. They didn't get the permission. They didn't fill in the admin. So this went round the world like, Katy Perry's in trouble. And just like, no, she didn't. Like, she didn't destroy that island. She didn't destroy the beach.
Sorry, this reminds me of Rihanna in the farmer's field again. You know, just a bit. I'll move to the next field. Yes.
But I don't understand. Like, if she still needs to, like, she has a production team,
but it's not her. It's her production team, and the production team actually haven't commented on it yet. So,
of course they haven't.
You know, but if they put Katy Perry out there, put her name behind it, then they go, maybe the production team will come back. It's probably going to be a slap on the wrist. Fine, but. The headlines are like, she's in trouble. She's done something bad in Ibiza. No, she hasn't. She just, her production team did not fill out the form and she went and she videoed.
You're very defensive. I think she has done something wrong. I think you should always stick to the rules. What's your second story, your last story for us?
Let's talk about some renewals. You were asking me during the week, do I have any recommendations for TV series?
Yes.
Right? Did you watch The Gentlemen?
No.
So this is a guy, Richie, a film that he turned into a TV series starring Theo James, who a lot of people would know from The White Lotus. It was really, really good, really well received. That's getting a second season, as well as Supercell that I thought went under the radar, but it didn't go under the radar because it was in the top 10 for 6 weeks. And Netflix have come out and said, we are going to give it a second season. Ratman, the creator, said, I can't wait for the world to see Supercell season 2. For me, season 1 was always an origin story. Season 2 is when the journey really begins. Season 1, I love this, was my Batman Begins. Season 2 is my Dark Knight.
Oh, wow.
So
that's tantalizing.
Coming. Yeah. And finally, we have a release date for Frozen 3. Do we need a Frozen 3? No. Is it coming anyway? Yes. Not.
They made crazy movie money at the box office. So we're not surprised.
Exactly.
Are we?
Like both of them over $1 billion each. So back to back, they're hoping that
when
the third will
do
the same. Again, it's going to be Thanksgiving, but it's going to be 2027. Before we see it.
Oh my God, like how unnecessary. Okay, so that's that. We're going to play, it's time for our second movie. We're going to play a clip of it for anybody who speaks the language.
Wow.
Just wow.
I did apologize to the producer. I was like, this is a Chinese language film, so finding a clip might be a bit awkward this week.
Well, so tell us what we just listened to.
Yes, so Only the River Flows. This film is set in the mid-90s in a small town in China. The chief of police is assigned to the case after a woman's body washes up in the local river. This discovery of the body sets off a series of murders. There are a number of layers to the story. For example, a secret affair is discovered, which brings to light fight a new suspect who then himself becomes a victim. This film, it's interesting because initially I was thinking, is this a bit like Mystic River, you know, from the title of the film and even like the genre, you know, we're kind of looking at cop thriller here. But really it kind of reminded me more of like, you know, those paranoia thrillers of the 70s to 80s, like The Conversation or Blowout, that are almost kind of slightly art house in aesthetic. It's funny because with Alien Romulus, we were talking about what genre is this movie? Is it horror? Is it sci-fi? With this film, I saw it described as a neo-noir art film in terms of genre. So that kind of gives you an idea of what you're looking at in terms of like that art house aesthetic. It was selected to compete in Uncertain Regard in the Cannes Film Festival. So it really is of that kind of ilk if you're looking for a movie that's a bit like, I suppose, deep and meaningful. It went over my head a little. I didn't quite get it, but I have seen it getting like really good reviews. So obviously there's something there that maybe I just didn't personally make a connection with. So it's not a big epic drama. There's not a huge amount that happens. It looks great aesthetically, but I don't know if it was quite for me. But if you're into your movie sort of movies, you know, real film, I'd say you'll like it.
Okay, so like if you want something that makes you feel like a little bit smarter than everybody else.
Exactly, that gets you kind of thinking and that you pick up something from it that obviously I was unable to.
And where can people see this film?
This one is probably more of a limited release. I'd imagine you'll find it in places like the IFI, Lighthouse and stuff like that. It's not going to get the big release that I'd say Alien Romulus will, you know.
What is the consensus on subtitles, Serena?
In this day and age, I need them because it helps keep me focused, especially if I'm watching something at home. I've become so attuned to doing 100 other things. I'm actually enjoying shows that are subtitled and films that are subtitled more than unsubtitled because my attention is focused.
Do you watch subtitle? Do you have subtitles turned on English movies?
No, only on Apple because we don't know how to turn them off.
If anybody knows how to turn off the subtitles on Apple TV, can you just text us 087-1400-106? What about yourself? Are you a subtitles kind of guy?
I do like subtitles. Yeah, I have grand ideas of like wanting to learn languages and things like that. So it's nice to watch a French film with subtitles and hope that you're taking in some of it.
Yeah, I'm a very big fan of subtitles, but I also need them on English speaking things.
I do the same. The only genre I don't do it for is comedy because then it gives away the jokes.
The jokes are always very easy to see. Anyway, that's all we have time for.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
On News Talk.